ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 8, the Ocho of the Nerd Badge Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Michael Quinn, also known as Stephen Person. I am the captain of the Mustache Club, the host of the Nerd Badge Podcast. And ladies and gentlemen, we have some great guests here on the table right here. Take a look right now. Look at these bad boys right here. All four of them right here, ladies and gentlemen. Look at my babies. Look at my babies. Ladies and gentlemen, the PAX United States Championship, the Funhouse Wrestling Cross Continental Championship, the HAWA beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Tri-State Championship, and the newly won, brand new, out of the gate, inaugural HAWA Multinational Championship. Ladies and gentlemen, I am going to be defending these belts for the rest of my goddamn life because no one's taking them from me. If you want to see me in action, I won't be defending these belts. But ladies and gentlemen, next weekend, SAWA, Deer Park, Long Island. It's going to be an amazing show. I'm going to be entered into the Coda Battle Royal, a great man who passed away a couple years ago. Great guy. We're going to honor him with a very beautiful Battle Royal. But not only am I going to be winning that, because, you know, I'm the best wrestler in the ring at that point, it's going to be Santera Fury, my old tag team partner, who I am going to murder because his life has been switched with mine. I don't know what Freaky Friday thing we're going on right now. And the problem here with this is that he is the one who's supposed to be losing. I'm the one who's supposed to be winning. He won two titles because of my mistakes. And I'm telling you this much right now. Santana Fear, I told you before and I'll tell you again. I'm going to ruin your life. I'm going to take you out of professional wrestling. And by the grace of God, I will let you live after next Friday. This is not a joke. You're a dead man when I see you. Also, ladies and gentlemen, I will be adding more gold to this beautiful dais of championship material because that's what I am. Ladies and gentlemen, I will be completing the gauntlet. I'm going to go to Arizona, AWWA, June 27th, and I will be wrestling for the AWWA United States Championship as I take on the AWWA United States Champion campaign and a piece of crap known as Twisted. A guy who, I guess he got it twisted that he thinks he can even step in a ring with me and compete at the level that I do. You wear a mask, you do the face paint, that's really impressive. You know what? Paint faces, bro? I kick him in the face. That's what I do. And you're next. And I'm going to take you out. I'm going to beat Campaign, I respect you. I like you. So I have to literally beat you to death in order to take that title. And that's a task that I will not ever shy away from. So that belt will be here at the next podcast. Well, actually, no, I'm shooting before that. So after the next podcast, you know what I mean. I'll be sitting here with more gold on the table. So ladies and gentlemen, let's turn to the important people here in the building. I got a full... No, look at... Pat, wake up! What? Ladies and gentlemen, a man who needs no introduction. A man who needs absolutely all the love in the world. I love this guy to death. He's been a great institution on season 2 of the Nerd Badge Podcast. He's great topic talker, man. I love him to death. Ladies and gentlemen, Andre Jones, amazing DJ right here.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, to his right, a beautiful, beautiful haired man right here, always in gear. I love how both you guys like dress up in like topics of today, like just like me. I think it's great.
Hey.
I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Prince Atiba. And we'll get to my other guests later. They're in the back. They're hanging out right now. Thank you for coming, guys. I'll get to you guys in the second half of the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, here are our topics for today. First of all, I felt like there's been a lot of advertisements, and they got me with the advertisements after the, what's it called, the whole, I bought this. I was like, let me just find this. I bought an emulator, a handheld emulator for me and a wife because she wants to play Mario Kart 64 and all those other games. It has like everything on it, right? It has Genesis. It has PlayStation. It has Nintendo 64.
I wonder if it's the one I have.
I don't know. It's like M6-something.
Oh, one of those. Yeah,
it's one of those. And it's sick. I've been playing it for like the past like week. And then all of a sudden I saw the Facebook ads and I'm like, and Instagram ads. And I'm like, yep, too late, guys. I already got bought. Well, I already bought two. So we're going to talk about video games today and how they affected our lives. I want to talk about games and systems, what you remember the first time that like this game that stuck out to you, like this game I wanted, this is the game I got as a present, you know, like those type of scenarios, because I feel like everyone in their nerdy little lives growing up, it's not just nostalgia, it's memories. And memories and nostalgia, I feel like a two different things. Nostalgia is more or less like a campaign that marketers do, you know what I mean? Like, hey, let's, you know, just throw in some like Captain Crunch or 16-bit graphics on a commercial. Oh yeah, I identify identify with that, you know, like that's
member
not,
berries
and member berries, you know, but I feel like there's certain memories that come along with those type of things. And I really want to dive into what you guys have about that. You guys too, in the back, I'll get you guys later. So also I want to talk about something really quick, real first. Our truth.
Oh yeah.
Missed opportunity. I we're going to talk a little pro wrestling right now. A little, and I know, and we'll talk about this with you later, because I think it's just a really bad opportunity right now, because they could have had, and I said this before on Facebook, if you follow our Facebook and all of our other social media sites, we're on everything. It was a missed opportunity for Cena, which I'm pretty sure they're looking at it now going like, we can use this, and they'll say something about it on Friday. Mm-hmm. But it should have been R-Truth versus Cena, career versus title.
Yeah.
And it would have been perfect. It would have been great, because now you have Cena and R-Truth going at it and being like, dog, I need to, if I can't turn you back to the person that you were running around this company, I don't want to be in this company. Mm-hmm. That's all it had to be. And now everyone knows R-Truth is going to lose, right? Yeah. Boom, Cena, nuclear heat. That's perfect right there. Mm-hmm. Now it's just like he just got released, and it's like, now you can't even use it. You know what I mean? Like,
put the heat on Cena instead of putting the heat on the office.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, because now it looks like an angle where it's like, oh man, you know, R-Truth, yo, he went out like a champ. You know, he went out fighting against Cena. And I think that was a missed opportunity that they're going to probably revisit for like a little drop in the bucket, then move on. Because they don't like announcing, they don't like talking about release people, even though they could have, because it could have been story. You know, I just, what would you think about it?
What about truth not being?
Yeah.
Stupid move.
Stupid move. Stupid move.
One of the best, like not even what he means to people on TV, but what he means backstage.
Exactly.
He's a national treasure. Everyone loves him.
It was really bad. When they released him, everyone was like, what? Yeah. Like, they released him, you know?
I was expecting for them to, like, sort of hijack the show on Monday, but they didn't.
They did a little bit. You heard it a little bit, but they
during
were
the main event. I did hear an R-Truth chat.
Yeah, I think
it's probably going to be Friday.
Yeah, I think they did something to black. I don't know what they did, but you could hear them like throughout the show, but it was like lowered. I couldn't put my finger on it.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to go into about people are pissed off is, we talked about this online a lot, actually, the whole Lilo and Stitch movie.
Yes.
So I want to talk about that for a second, because there were a lot of things that I liked about the new movie that came out, and I think it's one of the better live actions, absolutely. Because Stitch looked amazing. Like, you forgot you're looking at something computer animated, you know?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it was just perfect. You know, it was like just absolutely perfect, you know? Like, I liked the part, like, they left in a lot of stuff, and I felt like it's Disney, bro. You can make that movie 2.5 hours long, bro. No one's going to care. Mm-hmm. You know, they took out some stuff, which I'll go over, which I understand why people were pissed at, but there wasn't really a lot to be mad at, but there was some, like, if you're a little kid, you enjoy this. This is what you're going to grow up with. Like, wow, the old movie. I never saw that, but this is pretty cool, you know? I didn't like the fact that this is so stupid to me. I didn't like the fact they pulled out the whole where Lilo bit the other girl. And I was like, does this look infected? You know? Mm-hmm. Like, that part, I was like, I think that's core, you know? Yeah. They left in Pudge the Fish. I like that. You know, she's giving Pudge the Fish a sandwich, and everyone's like, what is she doing? She's putting a sandwich. I was like, Pudge the Fish. You're not going to get a fish to eat the freaking sandwich. You know what I mean? There's no training fish, like, you know. Mm-hmm. They left out, what's his name? The captain.
Gantu.
They left out Gantu, which I was really like, that was the, I understand why they did that the more the movie went on, because they wanted to capitalize on the human element of the movie, and like going back and forth to space with him and everything like that was too much. And he really comes in at the end where like Plinkley and Jumba kind of like screw up and then she sends him down.
Yeah.
They did do that a lot, but it was like, I understand why they left him out. Because the thing was, you needed the movie to have a villain. And in the first movie, the original movie, literally Jumba and Stitch, he gets, they capture him and he's in the handcuffs and everything like that, which people don't realize. Like, oh, where'd this bracelet come from? It's like, it's the thing they lock him up with at the end of the movie. So it's literally him going, which made no sense whatsoever. What do you mean help you out? No, I'm not helping you out. Okay. And then he just, like, Jumba helps out Stitch and them. You know what I mean? Like, he just completely changed his mind at that point, and that made sense to me. So with Captain Gantu, I understand why they made him the villain, because it was easier to tell that story. You know, because here he is hunting him the whole entire movie, and it made sense, you know, because that was the bad guy, you know? So they switched it up where he takes him, and he's going to turn him to Experiment 627. And it shows 627 where he's like this demonic looking thing. Mm-hmm. And I understand it. But one thing that people really, Gantu was like the big thing I didn't like that they left out. I didn't like the fact that they, I didn't like the fact that people were complaining about the movie saying, oh, it's not about Ohana. She gave him away and everything. I was like, if you look at the story of the movie, right? Lilu got hurt. Lilu had to go to the hospital and she didn't get the insurance. Mm-hmm. She had to do what was right for Lilu. And that's what family is. Yeah. She gave, and that's what it is. And I'm no Polynesian family expert or anything like that, but the family network that they have there is completely different than what we have.
Yeah.
So when the neighbor who knew the family the whole entire time, when the parents and everything, she was like, we'll take in Lilu to Nani. And it was like, okay, fine. And now people are like, oh, she gave her up to the state and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, she's with the neighbor who is family. Is Ohana. Yeah, Ohana changes.
Yeah, it includes extended family. Basically.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't have to be blood related.
Exactly. So, and even say it in the movie, it's extended family. Yeah. And in the first one. So one thing that people completely missed, the whole entire thing was the end of the movie, they fixed it in 2 seconds. They have a freaking portal gun. You could just go and be like, bloop. Hey, Lilo, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like, she can go visit her whenever the hell she wants. No one cares, you know? Like, it's a perfect erasure of that whole entire, like, oh, you got rid of Ohana and this. It's like, no, you didn't. You're idiots, okay? Like, if you were looking at your phone the whole entire time going, like, oh, Instagram, you know what I'm saying? Oh, whatever.
They were ready to complain before the movie.
Exactly. It's like, what am I going to complain about? Is cinematography was completely unexistent to me, you know? Like, shut up.
Just enjoy the movie. Yeah.
Like, you could have gripes about something, you could have an opinion on something, but the second you open up your mouth and you make it into a subject, you're a jerk. You're an absolute piece of crap, and I don't respect you at all. And I hope you fall down in front of people who you respect, and they laugh at you. So that's all I gotta say. What'd you guys think about the movie? You guys saw the movie, right?
I didn't see it.
He saw it. So what'd you think?
I actually liked it a lot.
A lot, me too.
I liked it a lot.
I love Stitch. It sounded just like the
I don't know how they pulled. They did it twice, but I like the fact that they really did try to. They let some of the voice actors come back. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Well, to be live action.
Yeah. The one who did the neighbor's
the
voice.
The original Nani was in the movie, too. Yep. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
But what I also would hope that they do a sequel.
I do, because
I think they could. The door's open.
Yeah, because you have the TV show that had all the like the characters in like 6'2", like 5'2", 5'2".
Oh, yeah, they had the series, and then they had the direct-to-video sequel.
Yeah, direct-to-video,
Stitch has a glitch or something like
that. Stitch has a glitch.
I have that on DVD at
home. Jafar needs glasses. They're not even trying anymore.
The Revenge of Jafar really was a great movie.
That was one of the few Disney direct sequels that was actually really good. So shout out to Jafar doing big things. Love it, bro.
What about Lion King? What is it?
We don't even talk about Mufasa. That movie was straight trash.
No, not that one. Remember the old director?
Oh, yeah.
It was like 1.5 or something.
Because what happened was it was their kid, but like Simba, like, I don't know. It's like all the he took over Pride Rock and then just like completely failed at everything. It was so dumb. Oh God. I remember watching my nephews when that came out. He's like, I want to see that movie. I was like, all right. And then I was like, he was like, I don't like this. I'm like, well, it's direct to DVD, bro. What do you want to tell you?
It's like, what did you think?
All right, there's a reason why they keep the gates on the castle, bro. They don't want crap like this in the Disney castle. You know what I mean? This can't be part of the whole entire thing. Can't be part of the collection. So, those are my little gripes about the movie. And there were other little things, too, I actually griped about was, like, Stitch not really communicating with Nani, which I think was a wholesome part about it, because Nani was always off-standish about Stitch. I was like, okay. And then she hits him with the broom, you know? Like, there was, like, those small parts that really kind of, like, you know, got to me a little bit. On to our next topic, video games.
Yes. All right.
So, let's start with you guys. So give me your earliest video game memory. Like your system, your game, give it to me.
Regular Nintendo.
Okay.
Battletoads.
Ooh, that's a good game.
That game is the source of many nightmares.
Do you know that game still, I don't think it ever came out with another game.
No, they have. Oh, they have.
When?
Recent, like the last like 4 or 5 years. They have.
They re-released Battletoads?
They made a new one.
They had an arcade version in 94, and then Battletoads Double Dragon back in the day.
Too. I remember Battletoads Double Dragon, yes. But I mean, like, after their initial release, that game was great. When you beat up those who beat them up, that was a good game. That's right.
Oh, the Battletoads Double Dragon was great, but the new Battletoads, it was actually on Xbox. The recent one.
Okay. Oh, because they own Rare, right?
Yeah, they own Rare. Nintendo's
Tell me about
biggest
it.
Mistake.
I know.
But the new Battletoads, okay. It's a little bit more crass with the humor. It's actually kind of funny, but it's like the controls.
Kind of whack?
makes me not miss the original one. They're not that bad, but it's just like the animation is really off-putting. All right. If you look it
is
up,
it's still 2D or
tell me tell me how it was when you got Battletoads. Like, tell me what was like. Was it like a build-up? Like, you saw the ads, you saw the friends, everyone talking about it, then like you got it. What
got it because she mistakenly thought it was Ninja Turtles, but she's like, it's the same thing. Yeah. Like,
because, that's exactly why they made them.
Yeah, they piggyback
the trick parents.
But listen, that game is the source of nightmares.
Yeah,
I didn't beat it. I got it when I was like 6, 7 years old. I didn't beat it until I was in my 30s.
Damn right.
Did beat it at all.
That game is crazy hard.
I was in my early 30s when I beat it. That was a few years ago.
Yeah. All right, we'll stick with Nintendo for right now. So give me a Nintendo game that was
Game?
Yeah. Tell me how you got it.
Regular old NES?
Yeah, regular old.
Oh, okay.
The NES.
My older brother, he had it somehow. I don't know how he got it because he was in junior high. He didn't have a job, and our parents didn't buy it for him. Yeah. So somehow he had Nintendo World accessories, Rob the Robot,
And
Gyromite and all that stuff.
I'm hating.
Wow.
But the earliest thing I do remember was he gave me the controller to try to play. I remember it was a Jaws game. Jaws. You're swimming in the ocean with like a little harpoon. And I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Yes, and you got to shoot like all the turtles.
I was like four or five, and I was like, what the hell am I doing?
In that game, you're not even like killing Jaws. Like, it's not like you're going to go, you're like killing everything in the water.
Yeah.
Like, you're killing other sharks, turtles, and all this other stuff. It's like a massacre.
I think you're just trying to avoid Jaws or something like that.
Yeah, it's something like that.
But that's like one of my early video game, like, it's early Nintendo memory. My earliest video game memory is just Atari playing Empire Strikes Back.
That's a fun one. Mine was, I have a couple. One was Super Mario Duck Hunt Combo.
Oh, yeah.
So my thing was that my brother had it, and his friends were like, oh, yeah, I can beat your brother. Like, my brother was like, I beat my brother all the time. He's like, yo, let's see if you can beat my little brother. My brother's like 10 years older than me. And all of his friends like, pop, pop, pop. It's like, all right, try doing that. I would literally stand as far as I could and just be like, dank, 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 dank. Taking out the duck population all by myself.
You ever used the mirror? Because you can do that, too.
I heard that. A white piece of paper. A white piece of paper.
You can use the mirror.
Yeah. You can use the mirror to shoot.
We were doing tricks. Yeah, you can use the mirror.
Yeah, you can bounce off the ceiling, too, right? Any light. You can bounce off, like, a reflection of glass or something like that, and it would shoot. Another one was Mega Man 2. She popped up for that one. Natalia popped up for that one. So Mega Man 2 was...
Why 2?
Well, because 2 was that, like, I didn't have Mega Man 2. I had Mega Man 1. And there was a kid, this kid, Jerry, who lived down the street from me in Travis. And I remember the house. Like, I'd run up the stairs. It was me and, like, two other kids. And we were all really good friends growing up. And we used to play it. Like, we'd all take turns. Like, you know, like, after you died, like, we were like, oh, I can't beat this part. Like, you know, like, so I was, like, the boss guy. Like, I was the guy that could always beat the bosses. Like, all right, cool. Nice. Like, I'd figure it out. Like, all right, I saw you beat him. And, like, I don't know how. I remember beating the bosses, like, you know, just whatever. Mm-hmm. So I just remember going to my friend's house and playing that game all the time. His mother was like, you guys want some cookies? You know, like, it's like one of those moments, you know, like and she would cheer us on. It was so funny. He was like, so that was one of my Nintendo, Super Nintendo.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Give it to me.
For me, Mega Man X.
Oh.
Yes. That was actually the first Mega Man game I played.
I stole it from my older brother. He'll never see this, so he'll never know. I have it sitting up in my room.
Gotcha.
That is still the first time ever playing it. I remember he's like, Andre, I try this, man. Puts it in, gives me the controller. I'll be back in an hour. I'm like,
no, you won't.
Unsupervised 9-year-old playing video. Okay.
What was your favorite part about that game?
My favorite part about Mega Man X 1. Gotta be specific.
Because there's a lot of parts that people like about Mega Man. It's the whole figuring out the bosses. It's the power-ups, and X is really...
I just love the Storm Eagle stage
exactly,
theme.
Exactly. Basically, the supercharge.
Storm Eagle stage theme. Yes. My favorite part of that game, believe it or not, is realizing that when you beat certain bosses, it affects other stages.
Yes.
They never really did that again. That.
Yeah, because what happens, like, if you beat the penguin, right? If you beat the fire one first, the tiger, right? What's it called? The
Spark Mandrill.
Spark Mandrill, yeah. Spark Mandrill. Something affects his level where other stuff pops open. You get the super suit.
Early.
Yeah.
What you're supposed to, believe it or not, Chill Penguin affects Flame Mammoth.
Yep.
If you beat Storm Eagle, it affects Spark Mandrill stage. Makes it a lot
easier.
Easier and harder at the same time.
I think it's the jumps, right? The jumps.
Why are harder, different. Though, at the same time?
Harder because with the ship collapsing, it collapsed on that stage.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of spots where it's dark, where it should be light.
Yes. And then you got to jump. from spot to spot, and there's nothing. But there's somebody who has a light or something like that, right?
Is that where those things flew by and it would light
up? No, those still fly by, but
they still do.
And
yeah,
it light up.
But it's dark now, so it's a little harder to dodge them. The good thing is it's easier to beat the mid boss of that stage because the electric. It's electric.
Yeah,
it's electric. He's sitting there like, hey, he's like, ha. And then if you beat a more Chocopus.
I was playing it this morning.
This stage affects Chameleon stage where you can get the last heart because it's now flooded.
Yeah, the water comes up. Wow. Oh, that took me back.
I gotta stop.
Bro, welcome to the show.
Don't stop.
No. This is all part of the show. This is where
this stuff I'm learning. Now I'm gonna go back and play it.
I know.
Yes.
Yes, the hidden Hadouken, where you get the, what's it called, where you get, when you get the suit, right? The full...
Once you get all the armor and all the heart tanks. Die in a certain part over and over again before you get it. Armadillo. Doesn't he
fight Zero and get it?
Nah.
No. That's later on. That's like 6 or something like that.
X6 is when they find... X5 and 6 is when they finally go at it.
Yeah. Because Mega Man goes
which
down.
Which one is with the bad voice acting with Zero's line?
Oh, that's the PlayStation one.
X4.
That's X4. That's one on a PS1. We don't talk about that one. No, PS1 or PS2? One, yes, PS1.
Yes.
I still have my
God.
What am I fighting for?
How about this?
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Bagamon, you'll have to beat all. I was like, whoa, this is really.
That's why they should have.
They were racist. I don't give a damn what they say. That was just like, that's a while they were talking like this. I'm like, they know they're Japanese,
yeah,
right?
Like, it's like we know like your General Gunray from
All right, give me PS.
SNES?
SNES.
You want to know my biggest memory? Was actually saving up money to buy one, right?
Yeah.
And then what my dad did was like, he was so proud we saved up the money. He's like, yeah, I'll just buy it for you. Keep your money.
That's awesome.
Hey.
Then he took us to go get it.
That's good parenting.
Yeah.
What was the game?
Street Fighter 2 on that.
Right. No. Don't give me Street Fighter. That's easy.
Don't, because that's so arcadey.
Yeah, give
something
me something
exclusively for that.
Yeah, give me something that you were like, wow.
Oh, that would have been Donkey Kong Country.
I knew you'd say that.
I was just blown away by it. Like, I was like, you can do this on this system? Because of the graphics at the time.
Revolutionary.
Yeah. Revolutionary.
Because I knew nothing about game hardware, but I was like, I just knew that, like, oh, these systems can't handle any type of 3D.
Yep.
I was like, the best you can get is the FX chip for Star Fox.
Yeah, you know, that doesn't hold. The saddest part is how it doesn't hold up.
No.
But Donkey Kong Country does.
Yes, it does.
Donkey Kong Country.
All three of them.
Oh, that is just craziest thing. Yep. The funny thing is, with Donkey Kong Country, for me, I didn't play it as much, neither did my older brother. It was my mom.
Oh, okay.
It was my mom. Well, I was like, yeah, y'all done play. Go in the room. I'm like, man, it's so late.
So was she good at it? Did she beat it?
Yeah, she actually she won up that game.
Remember the fake ending where you think you killed
K. Rool, and then he doesn't? Yeah.
And he wakes up.
And he wakes up. He's like, oh, wait, now I got to go out and start doing it.
First ever, like, false finish.
Yeah, I know that was. I was like, it's all a dream sequence. One thing that people don't realize is this. Do you know who Donkey Kong in Donkey Kong Country is?
Oh, it's Cranky. He's the original Donkey Kong, right?
Well, he's the original Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Do you know who...
Donkey Kong's his grandson. He's Donkey Kong Jr.'s kid.
No.
What?
He's Donkey Kong Jr.
He is Donkey Kong
Jr. So he is Donkey Kong.
He is Donkey Kong Jr.
So wait, Cranky is his dad?
No, they actually corrected it. In one of the games, they just go, he's my son.
Oh.
They straight up, like, change everything out of nowhere. He goes, no, I must be confused, like, in the case because he's old or whatever.
That would make sense because Donkey Kong Jr., you never really hear about him if that's supposed to be grandson.
Okay, where did Donkey Kong Country go? In Donkey Kong Country, it's Donkey Kong Jr. It's him. It's him who's grew up.
And then where does he find Diddy Kong?
Oh, Diddy Kong is, like, his friend. Yeah,
he's like a fanboy?
Yeah, he's like a fanboy. That's
he's like his Robin.
He's
Ward.
Yeah, basically, he's just like his understudy, you know what I mean?
He killed his
barrel number one.
Yeah. King K. Rool killed his parents or something, and he adopted him.
That's basically it. It's like, hey, just hang around me, little kid.
He was a monkey circus acrobat. Like,
yeah, little freaking Michael Jackson monkey, you know?
Yeah,
like,
Bubbles.
Yeah, he's Bubbles, yeah.
I just like his name is Diddy.
All right, now we're going to move on to the next one. Ready? PlayStation 1. Ooh. And I feel like everyone's going to talk about this.
Of course.
So I'm going to say it first. Final Fantasy VII.
I'm not going
to
say that.
Well, we'll get to you later. We'll get to you later when you come on. I promise. Give me Final Fantasy VII. Bro, was the instrumental game of that system to me.
How about this? Final Fantasy VII was a big FU to Nintendo.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because Nintendo
turned it down.
PlayStation in general was an FU to Nintendo.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be Nintendo PlayStation.
Yeah. But then we talked about this before. Go ahead. Tell the story.
Oh, they were supposed to get together because they were trying to compete with... I think because Sega CD had their thing, so Nintendo needed a CD, the whole thing. And then they, what is it? They kind of like blindsided him at E3 or something
It was the development at E3 where they announced it.
It was like some wrestling betrayal type thing.
It was like, you betrayed one of the...
It was like Seth Rollins turning on the Shield. But that was the... But Nintendo like screwed over lots of people. Remember the game Croc?
Yep.
Argonaut was the guys who did the FX chip. They were going to do Mario 64.
Yep.
And then they screwed them over.
Yep.
They're lucky Mario 64 was a massive hit.
Yeah.
But for PlayStation?
So yeah, Final Fantasy VII, great story. I mean, the graphics. This was the era of drawn graphics moving pixels. Because what happened was that Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy VIII, Final Fantasy IX, what they were is they're all drawn. All the backgrounds were drawn. They were just giant drawings. Yeah, so what happened was they put the path that you walked in on the graphics so that when you were, your character was just, that's all it was. Mm-hmm. That's why the battle system was so intense. And like everything was just amazing when you first played it, like Legend of Dragoon, all those games.
Man, believe it or not, for me, I was going to say, going to stick in the role-playing theme.
Yeah. But let me finish real quick. So what happened was that like all these games started using that method like so to save money because they were like, all right, we don't know if this is going to work. Final Fantasy, like first like walk-around kind of thing like where it was like you're not really on a plateau 11 like Legend of Zelda where all these games were mapped after, you know? So it's one of those things where it was a big gamble.
Yes.
So Final Fantasy VII was really the first one to do this and it completely 100% killed it. Like, and then everyone else started doing it afterwards. Seven became eight. Eight had, like, that graphics redesign.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, they made the characters look more like...
Yeah. Legend Dragoon.
Less chibi, kind of.
Exactly. So, for me, that was, like, my thing. PlayStation.
For me, I'd have to pick an RPG, too. And it's actually hand-drawn. Suikoden 1 and 2.
Ooh, that's an old one. That was, like, when it first came out, I think.
Suikoden 1 came out with PlayStation.
It was a launch title?
It was like a year later.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was an initial launch. Like I would consider that because they advertised it for a while, and then like when it came out, one came out in 90.
It was like 97.
96 PlayStation came out, but like it was 97, mid 97. I remember seeing the ads for it because I remember I was going to summer vacation, and it was like I remember just that being my last summer vacation I ever really had because I was working afterwards like a lot. So I was like, I remember that game. I remember wanting to play it all summer. That's the reason why I know that.
How about this? I had one and two. Two, my older brother gave me. One I bought with my own money.
Okay.
So with Suikoden 1 and 2, did something that Final Fantasy couldn't. 108 characters.
Yeah.
And twice.
Yeah.
And different battle modes. However, Final Fantasy, with Suikoden 2, came out at the same time as 8.
Yeah, and that kind of crushed it.
It's not even just that. What else came out the same time as Final Fantasy VIII was Dreamcast.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. $9.99.
The same time.
Yeah.
$9.99.
Oh, yeah. And Star Ocean.
Yeah. Star Ocean was beautiful.
Star Ocean was amazing.
Star Ocean was beautiful. All right. Give me PS1.
Ooh. If we're going RPGs, right? Brave Fencer Musashi. Because I loved action RPGs. I never liked
turn-based. That's a good one. Yeah.
It was like, because I didn't really come up with a lot of Zelda. I was like, that was like the closest kind of thing that PlayStation had to Zelda.
And I feel like, because with me also, another PlayStation game that really kind of like, how should I say this? It was one of my favorite games to play because it was like one of the few ones I ever played, SmackDown versus Raw.
Oh,
not SmackDown versus Raw, Monday Night Raw.
For PlayStation?
Yeah, it was the first one, right? That was
Warzone, you mean, right?
Warzone, yes. The first wrestling, that was Warzone.
Yes.
That game was so much fun. I had every title.
I was going to give an honorable mention to Attitude. Because that was a sequel. You know why?
Yeah, that era.
I have a memory because me and my cousin, we were working at a summer camp.
Yeah.
So like the Friday it dropped, we skipped work just to go buy it. And then went home and played it. And then on the phone, talking to each other like, hey, how do you do this? Because he brought the strategy guide.
Yeah.
Like, how do you do Road Dogs punches?
Buying strategy guides. Oh my God. Yeah, remember that hell?
Strategy guide.
I remember finding him at a park like, yo, I needed this. You know what I mean?
It
like
was drugs.
Nintendo Power.
With the codes.
Game Pro. Game Genie. Well, that's Game Genie was more of a system, but not a magazine. But yeah,
that just hacked your game.
All right, Nintendo 64. No talking about Super Mario 64.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna go first. What?
Oh, I'm just waiting for you to say what I think you're gonna say.
Oh no! I'm gonna say straight up Ocarina of Time.
Oh, okay.
Ocarina of Time.
Are you gonna say Majora's Mask?
Nope.
No. Ocarina of Time was such a beautiful game because it was in the realm of like Legend of Super Mario 64. I got you.
They didn't like it.
Why?
That's Majora's Mask. Okay, that's fine. We can talk about. Andre, it's time for you to go. Thanks for having us.
Oh no, it's an amazing game. Yeah. I have a bad memory of it.
Yeah, that game did scare a lot of kids with the moon and everything like that. Oh, so okay. Like when freaking what's his name? Which is funny, it ties into Ocarina of Time too, which is freaking beautiful. I love that. But what's it called? So we'll talk. My whole thing about that game was it was different from Super Mario 64 because it wasn't as cartoony with the thing. Yeah. Also, Super Mario 64. People don't really know this, but did you know that how the game is actually played out? It's the little cloud guy. What is his name? Luigi?
Oh, he's watching.
He's filming it.
Yes. So what happens is, I mentioned this before in season one. What happens is that when you die, you hear Bowser laugh. That's because Bowser's watching everything.
Oh, so he's monitoring.
Yeah, he's monitoring everything. Because if you notice, the camera stays still when you're fighting Bowser because he can't watch it. That's the whole thing. So that's a little trivia part for everybody. Yeah. People don't know that. But that's what I like about Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, because it was literally just an adventure. It was a game that you're playing. And it was you weren't jumping through pictures and all that other crazy stuff. It's like you're out there just fighting for your life. You know what I mean? Like you're going through all the Dark Dimension. You lose to Ganon. And oh, my God, that story is beautiful. When you realize, like, you ain't jack compared to Ganon. You know what I mean? Like, Ganon goes, oh, well. Triforce of Power. Later, deuces. You're going to this place, and you're going to go hide and play as a dude for the next 7 years. And then you play, and then it's just a beautiful game altogether. If you haven't played that game, definitely it's on a lot of different like emulators and online stuff. If you look it up, you can play it. It's an amazing game. It's just
an experience.
It's experience. Yes. Nintendo 64, give me one. Also, Nintendo 64, I got it. When did it come out? 96, right?
Yes, 96. Yeah,
96, I
Ultra
got.
Ultra 64.
Ultra, it was supposed to be Ultra. Yeah, Ultra, it was supposed to be Ultra, then L-Sign machines in Nintendo 64. I was like, okay, whatever. But yeah, I just remember getting it because it was a gift for me doing very well in high school. Because what happened was my brother wanted me to go to McKee because they have an automotive program there. Here in Staten Island, it's a vocational school, right?
Yep.
Remember, I was like, going to automotive, do this and this. Like, I was going to go to Port Richmond, another school. I was like, all right, fine, I'll go. And I hated it, but I stuck it out. My mom bought me a Nintendo 64 for that. So,
hey.
Nintendo 64, how'd you get it? What'd you like?
Well, same way I've
gotten everything. Sorry. PlayStation. I got that because I won a video game tournament here in Staten Island at Palmer Video on Forest Avenue. Ready? Toshinden Battle Arena. I beat everybody at that game. Waxed people.
Who was your character?
I can't remember her name. It was
With the whip?
Yeah, with the whip sword.
Sophia.
Yes, Sophia. Yeah. I beat everybody's ass. I mean, I just waxed people. I was maybe about...
Rattlesnake.
Yeah. When did it come out? 95? I was like 13. Yeah,
it was a launch title for PS1.
Yeah, I just remember playing that game. I was like, I have no clue what I'm doing, but this is awesome. And I was like, I actually beat the guy. I had like this much health left, and I lost two rounds. I came back just storming. So I was like, I got to beat this guy. I can't go out like this. And then I just like went straight for it. But yeah, sorry. Nintendo 64.
Well, believe it or not, Turok.
That's a good game. That is a great game.
Turok, I don't want to say GoldenEye. I want to see Perfect Dark.
Oh, okay. I was just watching a video on that.
How'd you get it
earlier?
Turok, my dad, because he's like, what game you want to pick? I was like, I want that one, and I'll take that one. He's like, okay, here. I did good in school.
Okay. That's fair.
But Turok, my first experience was, I already like first-person shooters. Thank you, Doom and Wolfenstein.
Yeah, Wolfenstein was a classic.
Well, but Doom too. Turok was, there was nothing like that. And then they, you know, that, but I enjoyed playing it, archery skills. It made me want to learn how to shoot a bow and arrow.
Yes.
Until I tried and...
on dinosaurs.
It didn't work out so well. I'm not... I can't... I
don't, are they still alive?
I have issues with a steady hand. No, my parents are good.
Okay. No, I'm talking about whoever you shot the bow and arrow at.
No, I just shot it at a wall.
Oh, okay.
And screw that wall. I had to fix it.
Screw that wall.
Yeah.
All right, Nintendo 64, what'd you get?
Oh, of course, it's going to be... WrestleMania 2000 and
No Mercy. That's good.
And No Mercy. And
No Mercy.
I have to put them together.
How'd you get it? How'd you get the 64? The
funny thing is I bought the 64. I got it so late in its lifespan. I got it in 99 just for WrestleMania 2000.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. I bought it used. I was
gotcha.
I didn't care anything about in 64.
Yeah.
Because my first experience playing 64 was that there was a store. You pay $1 and they let you play any game for 10 minutes to try it out.
Oh, Funko Land.
No, this was just some random pop store in Queens.
Yeah.
But like, so like I was playing like all of, I just played any game I wanted to try, like MK Trilogy for N64, which it didn't have the load times for Shane Tsung's morphs.
Oh yeah.
Remember the PlayStation thing? Yeah. you stop, you get to load his morphs. But like, so like, I was like, I liked the 64, but like, I wasn't all that impressed.
Yeah.
Here's a funny thing recently. I seen on, speaking of like 64 and its old name being Ultra 64, someone had a sign at a wrestling show that said, we're 30 years late for like Killer Instinct on Ultra 64. Because remember in the arcade? Oh my God,
it came out.
Available next year in 1995 for Ultra 64.
I remember that.
And it never came out because 64 got delayed. It came. Yeah. It was supposed to come out in 95, got pushed back 96. So they had to put Killer Instinct 1 on SNES.
Yeah, SNES. And yeah.
Surprisingly, and it didn't suck.
Nope.
Yeah. It was really good. It was
the black cartridge.
Yep.
That black cartridge sold it.
Yes. That and the red Maximum Carnage cartridge. Those two are the color cartridges.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back with the second half of our show. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, the Travis 4th of July Parade. It's a beautiful thing. 115th running years, baby. We're going to sit there and run back it again one more time, July 4th. Here's the end. Thank you. ladies and gentlemen, that's the Travis 4th of July parade, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. Come out, and we're back. So now you may notice I have two other people here, two really great people. One you may recognize, ladies and gentlemen, he's a referee extraordinaire. He is a motivator of people in the world of professional wrestling. He has more stories than Mother Goose with a stutter. Ladies and gentlemen, the good old-fashioned Pat Ciavo.
Who?
I forgot how to say
it. Mike's last name.
Mike, yeah, I know. That's why I was like, God damn it.
Savino.
I get you guys confused all the time. I don't know how to say your names every time I look at it. It's like a street sign. It's like, how do I say that? I don't know. I just got to make it.
It's pronounced stop.
Yes, exactly. Oh, that. Okay, gotcha. And to his right, somebody I'm really happy to actually have on here. We're going to do our own little private, little short, little interview with her at the end of this. But we're going to talk about their main topics today, too. Ladies and gentlemen, she is an actress, a comedian. She does very funny things in the world of acting. She actually has her very own beehive, which is very, like, a legit beehive, which is the reason why I have her here today. We're going to talk about that. Ladies and gentlemen, Natalia. Yay.
Thank you for having me.
So, obviously, you guys are in the background. You got to hear the first part of the show.
We did.
So we're going to jump right ahead. I think we already talked about the R-Truth and Lilo and Stitch stuff.
I do need to jump into the R-Truth conversation real quickly. Absolutely. Because you're like me. We've been in the indie wrestling scene for, 20, 25 years at this point.
Combined, yes.
We're very cynical. Well, combined, it's like more like 50 years.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So we're very cynical. There's an old saying, you know it as well as I do, you can't work a worker.
Yes.
What if this whole thing is a work?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
What if John Cena is truly ruining wrestling and convinced his corporate buddy The Rock to release R-Truth and put it out there that it's a real release?
I think The Rock is not with it enough to even care.
No, but I'm saying, what if this is all storyline?
I don't think it's storyline. I think this is legit. I think this is corporate. I think that when I think of TKO, I think about how they treat the fighters in UFC. Dana White, you're a jerk off. What's it called? 100%. So that's what I personally think. I don't think this is for ratings. There's no storyline here. What's R-Truth going to come back and win the title? They just crushed this guy. He didn't even renew his contract. I do believe in the aspect of, like, they looked at things and went, how much money can R-Truth get us? And they were like, we're never going to put a title on him. We're never going to put him on the front of a poster or something like that. He's good for ratings. But, I mean, we're on Netflix. Who cares?
The ROI is exactly. It's not there.
Yeah, so return of interest. Yes. That's
return on investment.
On investment, yes. So also, it also means interest, too, because what happens is, like, if I sit there and not just in, what's it called? They got to sit there and go, how much can we put this guy on television and go, hey, what's going to happen? No, not just how much money can we make. What's going to happen with it? See what I mean? That's interest. Investment is how much money we're going to keep paying R-Truth. So that's what that really kind of means. It's a marketing term. Anybody else want to talk about the other stuff, the Lilo and Stitch, anything like that? No? Okay.
Who?
Exactly. Good.
So I've never seen the original Lilo and Stitch.
Get out.
I know. And you told me to watch it too. And I just.
Get out.
I've been like, go. My life
know, it's
hectic.
Fine. I know. You got school. You got the bees. You got everything going on.
It's just so good. Life is good.
Yeah, life is good. Life is good. So video games. I know you're both into video games a lot. So let's start at the bottom, work our way up. Nintendo.
First of all, I need to go earlier.
Oh, yeah.
I need to go earlier. First system I had was
two sticks.
I was 6 or 7 years old, Christmas morning, and out pops the ColecoVision.
Oh my God, ColecoVision. My brother had that.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking basic stuff here.
The little knob?
No, it was better than Atari. They had grown past the square. Things were rounded, but it was, it came packaged with Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Later had the Donkey Kong Jr., the Popeyes, the Zaxxons.
Pitfall.
Sure.
Oh, those are good games.
Yeah. All the old classic, Mr. Do.
Oh. Yeah.
But jumping into Nintendo, let's see. I'm picking my first Nintendo game here, so. First one for me that I had besides the pack-in game, you mentioned Nintendo Power earlier. Yeah. They ran a promotion at one point because they wanted to get the American market into RPGs.
Yep.
And if you signed up for a year of Nintendo Power, you got Dragon Warrior for free.
Really?
Yeah. So my first foray into RPGs, which bored me to death as a 10-year-old.
Oh, God, as a 10-year-old, that's hard, yeah.
Was Dragon, because you're used to Mario and Zelda and
jumping
all this,
and killing.
And now it's a slime draws near.
Exactly.
Command,
yes.
Thou hast dealt the slime a mighty blow.
Yes.
So it took a while and it wasn't until Final Fantasy IV, I don't know what that was.
That was one of you guys playing music in the background.
He was watching
Instagram. Oh, okay. That's why I was just like, that sounded perfectly just like the game.
It wasn't until Final Fantasy IV for the Super NES, which was Final Fantasy II here, that first encompassed a story behind it. Besides, here, you're a random person. But no, there you were, Cecil Harvey, and you're trying to save the world and yada, yada, yada. So that's what really started my love of RPGs. Nice.
So I need to preface
right up here.
This.
Right up here.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hello. I need to preface this with all of my game knowledge. I have played, but my brother was the player. I was the watcher.
Like,
I was the watcher, and he would call me his good luck charm, and he'd be like, "Rubby," because he'd be like, "Natalia, I need you." So every single game console that he had, I got as a hand-me-down.
Nice.
So I have Nintendo, Super Nintendo. I have the PS1, I have Nintendo 64, and then he gave me his PS2. That was like the last hand-me-down. And then I had my own Wii, Nintendo Wii.
That's a good life, though, because now here you are getting everything without...
I mean, I wouldn't have a Zelda title.
Exactly, yeah. So give me... So I guess, like, what was the first Nintendo game that you played after your brother kind of like, or was it a game that you were playing while he had it? Like, was there
It was always like, I would always play, but I was just not as good as him and I would give up very easily.
Okay.
I would just like always be there like to help. So for example, like in Zelda, I would help him like with the puzzles.
Gotcha.
Always like to get through. Yeah. But in terms of like my first recollection of a Super Nintendo video game, it was Draken.
Well, I was going to say, give me like Nintendo first. We'll work our way out to Super Nintendo. So give me like, since you played with your brother a lot, what was one game that you were like, on the edge of your seat, hoping that he watching it like a movie, I guess, at this point. Like, what was the game that you remember going, like, I hope he beats this. I hope I'm doing...
It was every single one. I was his biggest cheerleader.
What was the one that makes it really stand out? The first game that you think about your brother playing with you there?
Nintendo or Super Nintendo?
Nintendo. Regular Nintendo.
I can't recall.
Okay.
Honestly, that's really pushing it. Okay. For me, it's Super Nintendo.
Okay. Draken. Let's go Super Nintendo. Super Nintendo then.
So it's Super Nintendo. Draken.
Draken. Okay.
That was and then RPG. It was like you had like your little people lined up inside and it'd be like do-do-do-do-do-do-do and you'd like be going across the field and then like a random lizard would pop up.
Like, oh no, not the lizards.
But I don't know, for some reason, like I guess I'm very auditory because I remember the sounds of all of the monsters. It'd be like, bleh! I couldn't know why I remember that. And then like the rats, like you'd beat the crap out of these rats. Draken, and then it was A Link to the Past.
Link to the Past. That's an amazing game.
Of course.
And give me. Did you play Link to the Past or did you watch them?
No, I've played all of these.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. I was like,
they eventually became mine and then I played them on my own time.
Give me a story when you started playing Link to the Past. Tell me, what was it like?
It was amazing. I'll never forget, like, when it first opens, it's raining.
Yeah.
And then you go see I think it's your uncle or somebody. And he's like, oh, there's something wrong with the castle. And then you have to go and sneak into the back room
of the castle.
And then he's there and he gives you the knight, like the sword. And then, like, remember it being so ominous.
Yeah.
It was dark and it was raining. And then.
It's not a happy green level.
It's not. Yeah. No, it was very ominous. And I just remember being like, fuck, like, I gotta bring this princess out.
I gotta save this chick.
Yeah. And then, like, I every time she has to follow behind, it gave me so much anxiety. And I'm like, keep up. Like, what? And then she's like right behind you when you finally get her.
Do you know that there's actually a cheat code to beat the game at that point? If you go into one of the walls and you got to do something really funky, I forgot what
it is. It's weird. You have to go into the first floor of the castle that you're in. You have to jump off the wall, reset it while you're in midair, go back in. You can get into the wall and walk up through and right to the Triforce room.
I remember that.
Yeah,
3 minutes.
You're done in like 3 minutes. I was like, that is so crazy. I didn't know about that till like I was an adult.
Yeah,
I learned about that like about 10 years ago. I think it was. I was like,
were you going back to an era where we used to trade video game secrets on the playground at recess?
Absolutely. Like you know, if you do this,
you write it down or you write it on the back of the cartridge.
Yep.
Like the.
I used to write it on my hand. I don't care. I wrote it on my hand, and then I'd be like, I gotta find a piece of paper, and then write it down.
Up, down, down, left, right, left, right. Yeah.
I was going to say, that's what's
the Contra code.
Yeah. Contra code. Yep.
But that's also something for
Sonic.
That's for Sonic as well.
Sonic as well too.
There was Street Fighter 2 that allowed you to play, Ryu versus Ryu, Guile versus
Shadow
Guile.
Matches. Yep.
On the back of my, oh my God, I'm losing it. On the back of my Mega Man X cartridge, there's a code. Like,
because they had all the codes, all the
in a marker.
Yeah, the dots in there, the orange dots.
Yeah, you had to do. It was the little helmet guys. And
heads.
And there was like a certain code that you had to do, and then you get all of the bosses, and you could just go to any board that you wanted. But Mega Man X is also awesome.
Sticking with Nintendo for a second, I got to throw
Nintendo
one,
Super
one,
Four.
One of my favorites.
Go Super.
I got to give one honorable mention to NES. Gotcha. Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link.
Yes.
The black sheep of the family. No, everyone hates that game.
It's a side scroller. It's a side scroller. It was weird. It was weird. Yeah. People didn't like it.
And remade about 2 years ago by a guy called Hoverbat.
Okay.
Find it online. Fantastic. It takes the original game and expands it. The dude, if you like the original, you will love this game.
Where on the timeline is that? Because there's
It's not part of it.
Timeline. I don't remember that at
all. It's not part of the timeline because the game was so bad that it was just like it had nothing to do with Ganon, I think it was, or something.
Right.
So it was just like his own little kind of thing. Like Ganon was dead, and then he kind of like Link to the Past was kind of like where it goes backwards. Everything's a prequel.
Even in Link to the Past, there was no Ganon. It was the wizard.
Ganon. Because you're
Aghanim.
Aghanim.
Because the problem was that they were trying to unlock Ganon in all the other versions. That's what it is. And the first one is the last one, technically. So. Yeah.
Very similar to the Castlevania. Yeah. You got to bring Dracula back. Exactly. You got to bring Ganon back.
Yeah. Castlevania was good.
On your point before, the ambiance of the opening of Zelda 3, A Link to the Past, is so much better and puts you into the role of Link as opposed to the first game where you wander into a cave and go, hey, little boy, here's a sword.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like, okay, random. Right.
Give me something Super Nintendo.
Aside from the obvious, Super Metroid.
Yes!
The ambiance.
Oh, God, yes, that game is awesome. Go ahead.
Super Metroid, you were scared playing that game. The darkness and the music and everything else. Power bombing the pipe in Meridia for the first time and just adding to that world. And every little thing in that game, you know, you can go anywhere you want. It's completely open world, but they have the checkpoints in each one, so you need a certain piece of item or a piece of gear to get to that next place. You need the power bombs, you need the super missiles or whatever it was. Just getting through that, hand-drawing the maps back in the day and try to get that, what a game.
So awesome game. So we got Super Nintendo with you. We got, what's it called? So give me, you said X. So give me, what's next? Let's go.
Let's switch it up.
Exactly. I left it out for them. So you guys have your own little topic to talk about. Give me something Sega.
Sega. Why do I remember Prince of Persia?
That's a great game.
It was very good.
That is a great game.
That was the first one where I think you had like to eat like food. Yeah. Like, I remember having to eat like your chicken or your like food. And then I remember his pants being like extra bad. I don't know why I remember his pants.
Yeah, baggy pants.
Because it's Prince of Persia.
Yeah, exactly. You had to sit there and like, you really had to think about that game. That's the thing about Prince of Persia.
It's always been like that. Even the newer ones, they were like so
The PlayStation
amazing.
1 was an amazing
fantastic.
Game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Prince of Persia, give me something else about the game that you really like. Give me a memory that you liked when you got the game, like how your brother had it, right?
Yeah, so I've always watched him play it.
Good. So you were anticipating I want to play this game
so freaking
bad.
I loved it. I love watching him play it. And then I would like feed him food. He'd be like, I need energy. I'd be like, and he'd be eating. And
here's
like
a turkey off the ground that I found outside of a trash when I knocked over a trash can.
And he would have eaten it because I would prank him like that all the time. I'd give him food that I put in the dog bowl and I'd be like, here. And he wouldn't even be paying attention. He'd be eating it. I'd be like,
idiot.
Yeah, but we were like that.
So many random memories about things. Like every evil, big, fat guy, you know, always flashes right before they're about to die, just like in real life.
Yeah. So give me a Genesis game.
Gotta go Sonic. That's pretty much the only game I played
Genesis.
But I'll give you want to go super nerdy here, back to the Super Nintendo. I used to hang out with a lot of Asian friends. And they hooked me up with something called the Game Doctor SF3. This was a non-Nintendo, obviously, accessory that sat in the cartridge slot.
Okay.
So you can go to the store, rent the games, come back, put it on top, and it would copy the ROM onto floppy disk.
I think I remember that.
So the ROMs and emulation, and it would run the emulation on its own as well. So you can load from the floppy disk back in and play the game.
It's a delivery system that's stored in what's it called. So it just saves it, probably copies it, then you can just play it. That's smart. Mm-hmm. All right, now we're going to move on to the next gaming system, which I hit them with Nintendo 64. I could have done Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo, but I felt like 64 was a good thing for them. But I know you have a little bit of history with that, so go ahead, hit me with it. Hit me with it. Get a shot of that. There you go.
My Majora's Mask
tattoo. There you go. So hit me with it. I know what you're going to talk about. Because I said
PlayStation 1?
No, for 64. I said Ocarina of Time, so you know what that means. Majora's Mask. Yes, there you go. Give it to me.
Oh, my God, man. So we had Ocarina of Time, which they introduced the Ocarina. So you needed that for to open doors. Yep, yep, needed yep. that to get around, to get through puzzles.
Yep.
They brought that over into yep. Majora's Mask, but they made it 3 days.
Yeah.
You had to beat the game in 3 days, but the Ocarina can manipulate time.
Yeah, exactly.
So you could go forward, you can go backwards. That game was so ominous yes. and dark.
Because you had the moon. The moon was the scariest part. The moon
was insane.
Yes.
And
that terrorized kids here in America. The game it got a lot of bad reviews from parents, not just kids.
I loved it.
Exactly.
I loved it.
Exactly.
And then I loved, after that, Twilight Princess.
Yes, Twilight Princess was amazing.
It was fucking fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
But
we're not talking about ducks. Leave them alone. There's no ducks in that game. What are you talking about?
So,
quack.
But yeah, no, it was so amazing. So much so that I got this and I started it in 2015 and I never like went back to finish it. But it just has left such an impression on me. Ugh. And then like, you know, like musically, those games are phenomenal. And they have been since the beginning of time. Like Fairy Fountain, they have so many different like iterations of Fairy Fountain, but they've kept the same. Yep. Like it just like, keep it very, is the word canon that I'm looking for?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, it's perfect. And I think it's beautiful. And even what they've done with like Tears of the Kingdom, the open format, like you could build, like, oh god, I love it. So I haven't played those, but I watched all the walkthroughs.
Me neither, because like, I just been so busy with other games. Exactly. I have a Switch. I have a Switch, which I want to get these games and play them, but it's like, oh. So Nintendo, I'll give you that one. Nintendo 64, anything that sticks out in your head?
Nothing. I stopped for a little while with the video games at that point. The 3D open world stuff was never really my bag. I prefer the 2D platformers and the adventure games. So I got to jump ahead a couple years and go Legend of Zelda: Link Between Worlds.
Yes, that's a good one. What did that come out for?
That was for I think it was the 3DS or the
3DS. Yes, yes. That was the handheld ones
and the Mario and Luigi series.
Yeah, those are good. Those are good handheld games. I think that's what it's exactly made for, which is really fun. Mm-hmm. You're gonna say something?
I have an honorable mention. Go ahead, give it to me. Give it to me. Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Ooh, wait, Conker's. Wait.
Conker's Bad Fur Day. It was an N64 game.
I'm still thinking of one with the caveman with the giant head. That's not it.
Squirrel. He had a potty mouth.
I remember this. I remember the squirrel. I don't remember the game. I didn't play it.
Go watch it. Go on YouTube. Conker's Bad Fur Day walkthrough.
Okay.
And it is hilarious. You're gonna be like, I cannot believe that it's immature.
Oh
they
wow.
They were cursing. You fought this guy called the Mighty Pooh. It was a musical. They were singing.
I like it. I like it already. I'm already invested.
So Conker's. I can't believe you didn't hear about that.
I remember it. I never played it. It's one of those games that like I knew about, but I just never played it.
I mean, if you were young when it came out, like I don't know how much older you are than I am.
I am 43 now.
I know that my mom was like upset that I was watching it with my brother because my brother was like 17 and I was just like, wait, 17. I'm bad at math. I was 7.
You were younger. That's what we got to say. You were younger.
I was 10.
Okay.
And we can't talk about RPGs without probably the most effed up RPG that destroyed people's minds at the time, did not become a cult classic for years upon end, Earthbound.
Oh, my God. Yo, the worst thing about that game was that you don't realize, like, my mom watched me play that game. She's like, oh, you look, I'm having fun. I was like, yeah, I'm having fun. And then you realize who the last boss is and how you have to beat them. And you're like, wait, what? I can't say the word, but I'll say this. You have to give the final boss, you remember the movie Superbad? Mm-hmm. Smortion?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's up there.
Essentially, yeah. You're literally walking in, and it looks like you're walking on...
Amoebus.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's in there, and you have to smortion that Amoebus.
As you are doing this, there's very, very clearly in the background, they claim it was not intentional, but it's a very clear image of an ultrasound.
Yes.
As you're doing this.
Yes. Yeah, it's...
It is mind-blowing.
And then they put him in Super Smash Brothers.
That's
dark.
I was like...
They put Ness, yeah.
Like, that means it's canon. It's a real thing.
It starts off as such a basic... Okay, you're literally a kid with a baseball bat. Cracked baseball bat beating up bats and crows.
Yeah.
You're at some point, you're fighting basically the purple Ku Klux Klan and a giant tent.
It's a crazy game. It's a walkthrough to remember. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, you need a walkthrough for that one. Yeah. There's no way. There's no way without a walkthrough.
You see, now here's the thing. we can keep going on the video games portion, or we can and we talk about you individually, or should we keep going and I just bring you back another time? Because I feel like there's a lot about the B stuff I want to talk about, and we only have like about maybe like 7-8 more minutes. So I feel
we could keep going on video games, because I still I was thinking about other video games.
So yeah, because I don't want to take away from your time. I gave them a lot of time. I want to give you guys the easy amount of time. We're almost done. So give me what's it called? Give me okay. Let's move up to PlayStation. PlayStation. Give me a game where it was like oh my god, this game.
Resident Evil.
Perfect.
Yep. I'll never forget that. I couldn't sleep for weeks.
That game.
I could not sleep.
That game is instrumental for PlayStation. Like, people don't realize like how crazy that game was. Like, it was, and it goes off my other one that I was going to pick. I kept a couple in my back pocket. Silent Hill.
Ooh. A good one. That's a good one.
Oh, those two games were, obviously Silent Hill came out after Resident Evil. Yeah. It's just like, hey, listen, let's try and compete here. But oh my God.
I think it was pretty good. I mean, it left its mark for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. Whenever you drive in the fog.
Oh no.
Everyone's just like, bring, bring, bring.
I think Silent Hill and I think,
Seaview.
Seaview, yes. Immediately.
Absolutely.
I'm like, it's that Seaview.
I would not be surprised if they imagined
it after, around that. Yep. I can't not separate the two. Every time I drive by Seaview.
So we're at the part where you're older, you're getting your own games and everything like that. Your brother's out of the picture and you're playing it. How did you get the PlayStation 1 and how did you get Resident Evil 1?
Well, no, he gave it to me.
I thought
I was only 7 when it came out.
Okay. I thought you meant like he got up to, when you got to PlayStation, that was the end of brother hand downs.
I got hand me downs all the way
so
up.
So you watched him play Resident Evil.
I watched him play Resident Evil.
Oh, my God.
And I was 7 years old.
Oh, my God, that's twisted.
Yeah, it was bananas. I remember waking up in tears crying because I'll never forget when Leon found the first zombie.
Yeah.
And the guy's legs are moving.
Just stands up. Yeah.
And then he turns and his face is chewed off.
Yep.
I'll never forget that.
That was impactful.
That haunted me for years. And like till this, then when Resident Evil 2 came out and the zombies could like go down the stairs, and I'm like, they're going down the stairs. Because they could only go to the bottom of the stairs in the first one.
Yeah. And then,
in the second one, they could go up or down the stairs.
But they crawled
or something. Ruined my life. Till this day, I cannot mess with zombies. And it's funny because I will watch horror video games. I will not watch horror movies. And I will watch like zombie horror video games. Because I love it, but I hate it.
One thing I remember about that game is the bosses. That were like, and
Dude,
not even
Nemesis.
The bosses.
He was incessant.
He was just
he
didn't
would
stop.
Just show up.
Like, where'd you come from?
Get a life. You're stalking me. Like, I don't.
Like, listen, I'm not really down with this. Okay, I got friends. All right, thank you so much.
I'm
need
not
another
into
one.
You, okay,
go away.
So I'll go a different direction. Like I said, I came out of video games for a while when they went the whole 3D thing. Was college and real life got in the way. What dropped me back in? I was at a Best Buy one day and Guitar Hero was on display.
I didn't even go arcade. I see. That's the thing. I was going to talk about that in another episode. I was going to have everyone come back and we could do a guitar, an arcade episode. Like, I want to do a tournament of arcade games.
Rock band.
Exactly. Like, I want to do that, but then it kind of dwells into the realm of consoles because, like, the consoles and everything like that kind of like it was an arcade first, then it came console. But I didn't want to put that out there. That's the whole thing because that's like the later gens, like Xbox and PlayStation and PS4 and all that other stuff. So I was like, I'm going to leave that off because.
Can we jump into computer gaming at all today?
No, because I think that's its own subject right there.
That's
its own because we can go to Skyrim originally versus like all that stuff. I can talk about that stuff for hours.
I can do the Monkey Island and all
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Sims. We even do Sims.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a lot.
Of, Sims
I feel like the next
upcoming
episodes,
folks.
Exactly. I feel like those are upcoming episodes where I can really kind of hit. So I just want to keep it on the nostalgia part of it, the memories part. Because I feel like everyone has that game that they identify with. Like, I remember sitting up red-eyed playing this game. And that's what I really want to get out of people for this episode.
I think, I don't know if it's you think it's Battletoads or Ghosts and Goblins. Which one is responsible for more broken or thrown controls?
Oh, Ghosts and Goblins, bro. Hands down. Hands down.
The turbo tunnel on Battletoads? Come on.
Dude, when you beat Ghosts and Goblins.
You got to beat it again.
And then I was incensed. I cried. I legitimately cried when that game came, when I beat that game. And I'm like, and then he came out with Super Ghosts and Goblins. Yep. And he did it again. And I was like, I fell for this again. Like, if you never played Ghosts and Goblins back in the day, you understand that game is like, you get armor, right? And every time you get hit, you lose everything.
But your underwear.
Just one time.
Yeah, just one time. You have like all this super high speed armor, and then like this little duck or whatever walks into you, and all your armor goes all over the place.
Not very good armor.
Oh my God.
It's like stormtrooper armor. You know what I mean? Like, remember in episode.
He walks into the wood, ceiling, yeah.
Episode six, where they lose against their armor, loses against rocks from monkeys, like little tiny. Teletubbies. You know, Teletubbies meets, what's it called? Oompa Loompas. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, how the hell does their armor not... That's another story for another day. But anyway, but yeah, that was my whole thing about, like, that game was just, like, I just remember getting all the good stuff and then just randomly getting hit by something and then just losing everything, and you're, like, in the middle of the hardest part of the level, and you're like... And the jumping was just at. See, in Battletoads, you could change direction in midair. In Ghosts and Goblins, what happened was that.
No, it was realistic physics. If you started jumping you were going right.
You were going. You couldn't change. You couldn't, like, change direction. So it was like, you're in. That's it. And the thing was, there'd be an enemy right there popping up, and you're like, ah, crap, I'm going to die.
Yeah. Similar to that, the Ninja Gaiden series.
Ninja Gaiden is, like, that is. I want to save that for, like, an episode where I'm going to do, because the next couple of episodes are going to be video games. I have really hard video games. Mm-hmm. I have arcade video games. I'm thinking about PC games, because, like, there are a lot of PC games out there, because I want to talk about, but, yeah. It's hard, because, like, not everyone plays the same thing. Like, mm-hmm. you were invested into one game. So I'm thinking about, like, what's the third?
I started with a Commodore 64, so I go back. Yeah.
I was going to say, keep it simple, Oregon Trail. Everybody played all. You died of dysentery, you know?
Like, we've all died of dysentery several times.
I died of dysentery many of times. But unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, this is our time. I'm going to get you back here in the studio for another time. So I want to do...
I want to know the buzz on this beekeeping stuff.
I know, dude. Calm down, bro. I'll get you in. We'll talk about wrestling because what's the cult coming up? Saturday Night Main Event is over. What's the next one? Not SummerSlam. Money in the Bank. There you go. Money in the Bank's coming up, so we can talk about Money in the Bank. I'll have you and a T-Bron. So, ladies and gentlemen, everyone come into the shot. We're going to say goodbye. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, episode 8 is in the banks. We're done. Ladies and gentlemen, Nerd Bash Podcast for Pat, for Atiba, for Andre, for Natalia. Thank you for listening, and I'm still trying to figure out the YouTube problem. I'm sorry. I have them all on my computer. I love you all. I'm just going to put them up on my personal, so we'll see you next time. We're done. Check the gate.
Woo!
Rap. Done. Over.
I wanted to say, Portal. Honorable mention, Portal.
Portal, Half-Life, there's a ton of them we can get into.
That's what I'm saying. Because, like, those are all...
Portal 2.
I was like, if I go up, they go up the entire episode.
Yeah. I beat that with my friend Matt.
Yeah.
Me and him tag.